Turn with me to Genesis chapter 32. Genesis chapter 32. God laid this message on my heart Monday or Tuesday, and I have just had really nothing more to think about for this service here this morning. And I want to mind the Lord. And we're going to look at a guy that's familiar to Bible readers. This story's familiar to Bible readers. I have no clue how many times I have already preached on this subject. It doesn't matter. It needs to be preached this morning. And you know what? It's we sing that song over and over. We can preach that message over and over, right? I don't know that I've ever preached it like this, but I'm going to go ahead and read the passage of Scripture, and then we're going to get into the message. And you know what? I'm going to ask you to stand today, and as we turn to Genesis 32, beginning in verse 24. I'm going to be reading from the New King James. I really like the translation that the New King James gives us on this passage of Scripture. In Genesis 32, 24, "Then Jacob was left alone, and a man wrestled with him until the breaking of the day. And when he saw that he did not prevail against him, he touched the socket of his hip. And the socket of Jacob's hip was out of joint as he wrestled with him. And he said, 'Let me go, for the day breaks.' But he said, 'I will not let you go unless you bless me.'" That's Jacob talking there. "So he said to him, 'What is your name?' And he said, 'Jacob.' And he called your name, and he said, 'Your name shall no longer be called Jacob, but Israel. For you have struggled with God and with men and have prevailed.' Then Jacob asked, saying, 'Tell me your name, I pray.' And he said, 'Why is it that you ask about my name?' And he blessed him there. So Jacob called the name of the place Peniel, 'For I have seen God face to face, and my life is preserved.' Just as he crossed over Peniel, the sun arose on him, and he limped on his hip. Therefore, to this day, the children of Israel do not eat the muscle that shrank, which is on the hip socket, because he touched the socket of Jacob's hip in the muscle that shrank." Father, we come to you in Jesus' name. Lord, we just ask you, Lord, to bless this passage of Scripture. Pray that you'll anoint this human mind and touch these lips of clay today to deliver and proclaim the Word of God today. Lord, speak to our hearts in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Well, Jacob is a very colorful character in the Old Testament. Jacob is one of the most well-known characters in the Old Testament. He is the son of Abraham. He is the patriarch of the 12 sons that would eventually become the 12 separate tribes of the nation of Israel. He is, by all accounts, a very great man, and his life is a life that is a very interesting life. Now, in this passage of Scripture, I believe that we might say that this is probably the second most well-known incident in the life of Jacob. And I would say that the first that tops the list of well-known incidences in the life of Jacob, and there are many, it would be Jacob's ladder, where he had his dream and he saw the angels ascending and descending from heaven to earth and to earth to heaven. And that is very well known, and it was at Bethel, and certainly that's, if you're a Bible reader, you know that passage. But this passage here, we find that Jacob is wrestling. Jacob is struggling here. And I thought of a few titles to this. I thought about calling it WWF, which would be Wrestling with the Father. Now, some of you like that, right? If you like that. And I thought about calling it, and there was a wrestler years ago, I used to watch some of the wrestling years ago, there was a guy called Jake the Snake. So I thought about calling it Jake the Snake Meets His Match, but I didn't think that would fit either. So I'm calling it this morning, Victory by Being Conquered. And that's not a catchy title whatsoever, but I'm not worried about the title, I'm worried about the content. And I want to explain that to you, because here's what I see, and this is what come to my mind. Jacob is struggling. Jacob is wrestling. And I want to ask you something today. What are you struggling with today? What is it in your life that you are wrestling with? Now, I am persuaded to believe that in a congregation this size, there are many of us here today that are struggling with something. Now, if you're blessed and you say, "Man, I'm on easy street. I have no problems at all." God bless you. Would you just see me after church and let me know your secret? But the rest of us need to hear this message. Some of we're struggling, you know, and it could be so many different things. You might be struggling with finances this morning. That, you know, that can weigh heavy on you, and that can be a burden, and that can put a strain on your marriage if you're struggling in the financial area. You could be struggling in the family area. There could be some relationships that are strained and some things going on maybe in your marriage that are making you struggle and you're having a hard time. You might be struggling about the future. You don't know where to go, and you don't know where to turn, and you don't even know what your future holds. And you might be struggling this morning with the finality of it all. That is, you know, we are mere mortals, and one of these days we're going to leave here. And maybe this morning you're struggling with that. Maybe you're struggling with a habit or addiction. Maybe there's something in your life that you just can't conquer. Maybe it's got a hold of you and you want to give it up and you want to quit, but you just haven't been able to overcome what it is that has you bound today by chains of addiction. Maybe today, maybe as Christians, I thought of this, maybe some Christians today are struggling with their old nature. Now, I believe that we can liken Jacob's struggle, and I'm going to elaborate on this in just a few minutes. We can liken Jacob's struggle with his old nature, and I'm going to explain that in a minute. But you know something? There may be somebody here today who is feeling a pull to the old life. You're feeling a tug to go back to what God saved you from. He's been the devil, and I'm going to tell you something. The closer we get to Jesus coming, the more intense the devil will do all he can to rob you and steal you and take your joy. Believe me when I say that. And listen, maybe this morning you're under that category. You're struggling with the old nature and it's pulling you back. And this morning you're looking for deliverance. Maybe, you know, when you're struggling with your old nature, maybe coming to church is a bit of a burden. You know, when church becomes a bit of a burden, you know what that is? That's not the church. That's the symptom of a problem in your life. Amen? When coming to church becomes a chore and you only go to church out of the loyalty and duty, listen, you need to evaluate your life to see where you're at this morning with God. Maybe this morning, and listen to me now, maybe this morning some of you are really struggling with God getting a hold of your life. You're struggling with the very idea of becoming a Christian. God's been dealing with you and conviction has laid hold on you. I'm going to tell you something. Conviction of God can make you miserable. Amen? Praise the Lord. Conviction can make you miserable. And when you get miserable enough, you'll say, I've had enough. I need Jesus. Hallelujah. Hey, I want to tell you, listen, here's what I know. The same way God got a hold of Jacob, God knows how to get a hold of you. I want to tell you something. When you got folks praying for you, and you're hearing the Word of God, and coming to church, and you know, really seeking the Lord and find out where God wants, let me tell you something. God's not going to let you alone. God is not going to let you alone, and you can run for a while, but you cannot hide from God. I want to give you a few things this morning that I have discovered this week in my study from this passage that I feel is going to help us all today. Because there's three things that I've never seen this before, so although I may have preached this passage before, this is a brand new message. And something occurred to me with this, and the first thing I want to bring to your attention is number one is Jacob came face to face with God. Face to face with God. Now, we know that because he said it in verse 30. I mean, here's what I'm calling it. He had a holy encounter. How many have had a holy encounter? Amen? I've had one. And you know what I noticed, and I never thought about this before either, but what I begin to think about in this holy encounter, this face-to-face meeting with God that Jacob had, God always comes to you in a way and speaks to your heart in a way that you can understand. Did you know that? Think about this. Let's explore this just for a moment. Number one, I was thinking about how God came to Abraham in Genesis chapter 9. You know what Abraham is in Scripture? He's a pilgrim. He's a traveler. You know how God showed up when he speaks to him about Lot and about Sodom? Abraham looks out and he sees travelers coming into his camp. God showed up and spoke to him
as a traveler. Think about this. When Joshua came into the promised land, Joshua, the great general, the great warrior for God, before they would go into Jericho, you know what he did? He took a walk outside, and guess who he sees? In Joshua chapter 5, verse 13, it says this, and Joshua sees a man over against this place, and he draws a sword, and the man goes there, and he goes to this man, and he says, are you for us, or are you against us? And it was the angel of the Lord. You know what he said? He said, I am captain of the army of God's host. Let me tell you, to the warrior, God became a warrior. Joshua could understand him. You know something? Think about this. When the man was laying at the pool of Bethesda for 38 years, he went back every year trying to get healed. Jesus shows up to this man, and what does he say to him? He says, will you be made whole? What this guy needed was a physician. And what Jesus shows up as, thank God, is the great healer. And think about this. When Paul, the confrontational man that would go out and arrest Christians and bring them back and persecute them, he was an in-your-face guy. Guess how Jesus shows up to him? In your face. Amen? He appears and Paul falls off his horse. He gets right in his face. He says, what are you doing? Let me tell you something. God will speak to you in a way that you will understand. Now notice this. I want to bring something to your attention. I want us to learn something here. Jacob is a wrestler. You know why I know that? Because I did a little study on his life, and here's what I found out. That from the even when he was in the womb, you know what, in Genesis chapter 25, verse 22, his mother becomes pregnant with twin boys. And she was told, there are two great nations inside of you. And you know what happened? In her womb, she says, they are striving, they are warring in my womb. I mean, she was all tore up, man. They were even in the womb, Jacob and Esau were wrestling. Esau was born first. In verse 27, the Bible says, as Esau was born first, Jacob's hand came out of the birth canal and grabbed Esau's heel. He was wrestling with him right out of the birth canal. A little bit later in chapter 25, Jacob wrestled the birthright away from his brother Esau. You say he never laid a hand on him. That doesn't matter. You know what Jacob's name means? Heel grabber, come from behind, sucker punch. That's what it means. Conniver. Watch out for this guy because he'll sneak up on you and take some. He's always wrestling something away. And he got his brother's birthright by wrestling it away from him. And let me tell you something. He went down into his mother's ancestors' land. And for 20 years, he wrestled his uncle Laban. And he left there with more wives than you want and more concubines than you want. And more flocks and herds than you can imagine. You know why? Because he wrestled them away. He's a conniver. And so how does God show up to Jacob? God, and I'm going to tell you something. Let's read that again. Verse 24, the last part. A man wrestled with him until the breaking of the day. I want to point something out to you. I believe God initiated the wrestling match. I think God showed up and said, come on. Boy, you think you're tough. I'm going to show you something. You've been wrestling all your life, but I want to show. Come on, get some of this. I'm going to show you just how tough you're not. Amen. Let me tell you, you'll never win a wrestling match with God. God will show up. God will speak to you, and you will know that it's God. Amen. I know that's true. Because I want to tell you about how he showed up to me. You see, back in 1981... And October 11th, I was a man that was bound. I was bound by addictions. My life was on a fast track to hell. But I want to tell you, Jesus showed up to me that day. And you know what he showed up as? He showed up as someone saying, son, you want these chains broken off your life? I'm the one that's got the key, thank God. I remember when he spoke to me. I remember my holy encounter with God. Face to face with God. And listen, when God speaks to your heart, there's no mistaking that. no mistaking it whatsoever. Let me tell you, he had a holy confrontation. But note this, in verse 24, this confrontation was alone. Jacob was left alone. He's all by himself, and what he has done, he has come back to the place where the man that he stole the birthright from, Esau, at least in Esau's mind he has, he is coming back to his homeland, and he's worried about meeting Esau. This is the problem. And so he sends his great company of wives and concubines and children in separate companies, and he breaks up his flocks, and he sends them over in separate companies so that if they are attacked, they won't all be strategically, he was thinking. And so he sends them over, and there he is left alone. Can I tell you something today? That this is a very personal thing. A holy encounter is a very personal experience. I can tell you about mine, but you can't fully grasp the depth of how God spoke to my heart. You can tell me about yours, but you cannot. I cannot fully grasp. I love Billy's testimony and how, you know, his shop didn't work, and he said, "Well, if I could get off, I'd go." No, and he couldn't. Well, they shut down the shop, and he goes to revival, and God speaks to his heart. And I don't know, he must have been a softball player because he slid into to the altar. Hey, I want to tell you, listen, that's very personal to him. Thank God we've got a story to tell. God did something in our lives, and it is personal. No one can do it for you. You say, well, you know, I got a great dad and a great mom and a great sister and a great this and a great that, and that's great. But where are you at? Because you will answer to God for yourself. You will stand before God and you will give an account, and your name will be searched. And if your name is not found written in the Lamb's Book of Life, you will be forever lost. Amen. God, help us. Help you. Oh, listen, hell is for eternity. It's personal. He had to do this alone. A holy encounter. Alone with God. But I want to point something else out to you because this is important and I never thought about this. Look in verse 25. They're wrestling. God's encountered this, initiated this wrestling match. And in verse 25 it says, now when he saw that he did not prevail against him, I want to point out to you that that's the angel of the Lord not prevailing against Jacob. You believe me when I tell you he was a wrestler? You ought to, because he's prevailing. He's giving a pretty good wrestling match to the angel of the Lord. Boy, that just hit me like a ton of bricks. Because you know what it told me? Now I'm thinking to myself, the Lord's wrestling him and he's struggling. And what happens is he's not prevailing. And I'm thinking to myself, God thinks this guy's serious about this. You know what? He ain't playing games here. He's not half-hearted about what he's wants here. He wants me to bless him. He was always wanting to be blessed. Jacob's always wanting more, always wanting to be blessed. Kind of a lot like us. And he's holding on to him, and it says he prevailed. I mean, he gave him a good fight. Can I tell you something? Listen, if you want to come out of your struggle, it's time to get serious about it. If you want to come out of the struggle that you're in, whether it's struggle with the old nature, whether it's struggle with whether you ought to be saved or not, let me tell you, the Bible says, Jeremiah 29:13, they will find me when they seek me with all of their heart. God is not going to save half-hearted seekers. He's serious about this. Man, I mean, he got a hold of God, and he's not letting go. How long has it been since you got a hold of God? I'm not letting go, God. I want to hear from you. He's serious about this. He's real. Listen, when you get serious about seeking God, when you get serious about wanting victory, when you get serious about leaving the old nature, when you get serious about getting saved, God will do the miracle. Number one, you come face to face with God. Number two, this is how to overcome your struggle. Number two, he comes face to face with himself. He comes face to face with himself. And I don't mean by a mirror. He had no mirror. You know what I find interesting about this? Notice in verse 27, he says, after he said, bless me, in verse 26, Jacob says, you bless me, I'm not letting go. But in verse 27, the angel of the Lord says, what's your name? What is your name? The father's asking him. Now, I already told you what his name meant. It meant cheater, conniver, come from behind, heel grabber. He's a flim-flam man. He'll wrestle you out of anything you got any way he can. That was his old nature. And I want to remind you of this, that in Genesis chapter 27, that Esau was about to receive the blessing from his father, and he was to go out and kill some venison because Isaac loved venison. I love Isaac. He loved deer meat. And so he sent his he-man son. I always thought about Esau and Jacob as, you know, Esau was the hairy he-man hunter, and I thought of Jacob as a mama's boy. I don't think that way anymore. I think Jacob was as much a man as Esau was, only he was a different kind of a man. And so Esau goes out to hunt, and while he's out to hunt, mother comes to Jacob and says, you better go in and get the blessing from dad because he's fixing to give it to Esau. And he says, well, how will I know? He'll know it's me. He was blind, but he said, he'll know it's me. He's hairy and this and that. And she said, don't worry, I'll take care of it. And they disguised him. They put hair on his arms. And he walked in. You know what he said in Genesis chapter 27? He walks into his father. Now listen, he was just asked, what's your name? He goes into his father and he says, here am I, father. You know what his dad said? Is that you, Esau? He said, who is that? He said, it is your son, Esau. The last time his father asked him who his name was, his earthly father, he lied about it. He couldn't tell the truth. I'm Esau. Now, God has him in a wrestling match. He's in a struggle. And God says to him, and in this question, there's so much riding in the answer. God's not asking Jacob, what's your name? Because he don't know his name. God's asking Jacob what his name is because he wants him to come clean with who he is. A conniver, a liar, a cheater, a robber. And so he says, what's your name? And Jacob's not going to lie anymore. He says, Jacob. He told the truth. And in telling the truth, listen, he admitted he was coming to terms with himself. I'm Jacob. I'm that guy. I'm the one that, lied all them years. I'm the one that did all those things. I'm the one that's always wanting to get blessed. And I'm the one that's always somehow coming out ahead. That's me. I'm the heel grabber. That's me. You know something? He asked to be blessed and he immediately asked his name. Can I tell you something? Tozer said, God cannot bless a man until God breaks the man. He's breaking his will. And look what he does. And I'm calling this, under the heading of face-to-face with himself, a holy dislocation. Because look what in verse 25 it says, Jacob's hip was out of joint as he wrestled. In verse 32 it says the muscle of his thigh shrank. Can I tell you this? Your thigh muscles, your biggest muscle in your body, God shrinks it. Your hip muscle, your hip socket is the, I read it, it's the most strongest socket in your body. God dislocates it. He breaks his resistance. He tears down his own dependence on who he was and what he can do. He breaks him before he can bless him. God cannot bless us until we raise the white flag of surrender and say, yes, Lord, I want to be yours. Come face to face with yourself. That's what he does. God breaks that joint and he shrinks that muscle. No more dependence on his own strength and his own power and his own conniving and his own sneakiness. No more of that. Notice what happened under the heading of face to face with himself, because something wonderful happens here. He went from a holy dislocation to a holy dedication. Look with me in verse 28. He says, after he confessed his name and he broke his hip socket and shrank his muscle, he's a broken man now. See, God's got moves you don't know anything about. Thank you, Lord. He's got some moves you haven't even thought of yet. Let me tell you, he prevailed with them for a little while. But God said toward the morning, I've had enough of this. You are going to find out who's boss. Amen. That's good preaching. And listen, here's what happened after the holy dislocation. Verse 28, he said, your name's no longer Jacob, but your name is Israel. You know what a new name in Scripture indicates? A new beginning. Remember when Jesus met Peter? He gave him a new name. He said, your name's no longer Simon, but it'll be Cephas. That's a Hebrew word for Peter in the Greek. You know what that means? A rock, a stone. Not the stone, but a smaller one. Jesus renamed him. It's a new beginning. When the apostle Paul, who was known as Saul, met the Lord, they began to use his other, he had the name, but they began to use, he no longer was referred to by his Hebrew name. That was his old life. They began to refer to him by his, by a Greek, the Greek equivalent, which was Paul, a new name. You see, God gives you a new name. But can I also add this? Not only does he give you a new name, he writes your name down in a book up in heaven. Amen? Thank God. So he has holy dedication. Number one, he got a new name. Number two, he got a new perspective. Look in verse 30. He said, I have seen God face to face. Oh, listen. All of a sudden, Jacob's got a story to tell. Jacob's got a testimony to give. I have seen God, and my life will forever be different. Amen? When you meet Jesus Christ, your life will forever be different. It will never be the same. He got holy dedication by a new name, by a new perspective. And the last thing in verse 31, under the heading of face-to-face with himself, verse 31 says he limped on his hip. You know what that means, right, church? Oh, he got a new walk. It may not have been a good walk, but it was a new walk. He wasn't walking like that before this holy encounter with God. He wasn't walking like that until after he came face to face with God. He wasn't walking like that until after he came face to face with himself. Now he will forever remember his meeting face to face with God, because he will never again walk the same. When Jesus saves you, listen, one of the preachers said yesterday, we were having a meeting after the state meeting, I had to have a meeting with the board, and we were talking. And one of the preachers said, he said, you know, I think we've forgotten about preaching on holiness. We've forgotten about preaching on, sometimes we focus on grace and love, and which we need to. But church, I don't want to be guilty of that, and I don't know that I am. I want to tell you something. I'm just going to throw it in right here. See, when you get a new walk, it means you got a new life for Christ. You live life differently than you did. Old things pass away, and behold, all things are made new. Came face to face with God. He came face to face with himself. And now he is ready to come face to face with his biggest threat, his biggest challenge. Look in verse 1 of chapter 33, the next chapter. Now Jacob lifted his eyes and looked, and there Esau was coming, and with him 400 men. So he divided the children among Leah, Rachel, and the two maidservants. Stop there. What I'm getting at is this. Now he is ready to face the challenge. What are you struggling with? Jacob was struggling with the prospect of meeting his brother, whom he thought for sure was going to do him in. But I will tell you this, that after meeting God face to face, after coming to terms with who he was and what he could be now in God, he can meet his biggest challenge with a new confidence. What are you struggling with? What is your wrestling match today with? Is it with some fears? Is it with some failures? Is it with the future? Is it with finality of what awaits us all? Are there some addictions in your life? Christian, maybe there's an old nature that's, as Paul said, boy, you know, he said, when I would do good, there's evil present. Brother Jared, let's get a song ready. Sister Laura. He said, when I would do good, there's evil present. We're in the battle. Don't give in. Don't give up. What's your struggle with today? What about you? I'm going to end with this. What about you? Maybe your struggle today is with God right now speaking to your heart and saying, you know, you're a good person. You're a good man. You're a good woman. But you're not saved. You need Jesus. The Holy Spirit speaking to your heart. Jesus died. Boy, I love that Sunday school lesson. That's enough to get a Free Will Baptist shouting in Sunday school. Listen, Jesus paid it all. All to Him I owe. He paid your sin debt. He paid mine. And when you merely accept Him and say, yes, Lord, I'm a sinner, I'm lost, and I know that You died for me, and I know that You rose again that I might have justification. I accept You as my Savior. All of your past sins are put under the blood, cast into as far as the east is from the west, never to be remembered again. Isn't that a wonderful idea? It's truth. Jesus paid your debt. So today, maybe God is speaking to you. Maybe that's your struggle, and you're struggling with it. Today, I would encourage you to just raise the white flag and say, Lord, I'm not going to run anymore. I'm coming to You. Let's pray. Father, we come to You in Jesus' name. Lord, we're so thankful for Your presence. We're thankful, Lord, for the Holy Spirit, for the Word of God, so powerful. Thank You for the opportunity to stand before a wonderful congregation of people attentive and proclaim the Word of God. Thank You for the anointing of the Holy Spirit, Lord. To God be the glory. But Lord, right now, Lord, I believe there's unfinished business. I believe that You're not done yet, and I pray tonight, or this morning, Lord, that Lord, that one that You're speaking to right now, I believe that You are, will surrender, will come to the realization that Christ is the only way. You pay the debt, Lord Jesus. And when we come to You, You put that payment on our account, paid in full. Touch hearts today. Lord, speak to Christians, struggling, struggles, whatever it may be, God. You be glorified today. And may the unfinished business, Lord, be done before we leave. In Jesus' name, amen.